Yeah.
So you have notes on the schedule.
Bruce. Legacy. Not in the water level with Devil's Lake.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Good morning. It is 10 a.m. Wednesday, August 10th, 2011. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're here in the commission hearing room on the 12th floor of the North Dakota State Capitol in Bismarck. For the record, this is Tony Clark. Welcome to everyone.
Good morning, Kevin Kramer. Welcome.
Good morning, Brian Culkin. After a challenging summer of flooding and egg challenges, I'm proud to announce only 24 days till Bison football resumes. I was at a meeting last night and we were discussing the upcoming season.
The long wait is over, huh? With that, there are some items in the consent agenda.
I move passage of items in the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Moving to items in my portfolio, TC1, I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order issuing certificate of site compatibility for energy conversion facility number 24 to Elite Inc., authorizing construction of a 105-megawatt Bison 2 wind project in Morton and Oliver counties of North Dakota, case number PU-11-57.
Second.
I noticed an interesting brochure that Minnesota Power has put out on renewable energy. The opening line of it is, if you want to know what the weather will bring, look to the west. If you want to know what the future will bring, look to North Dakota. This order and the following motion, I think, speak to that a bit, which is that for Minnesota Power's profile, at least, and their future generation resources that they look to be bringing online, they truly are looking to North Dakota. Of course, we have the existing Bison 1 project, which is about 76 megawatts. They've got 33 turbines, 2.3 megawatt Siemens turbines. If approved, this order would add 105 megawatts to that Bison footprint. The following motion, which we'll discuss in a little bit more detail later, is an application for an additional 105 megawatts. They're calling Bison 3. It brings the total for that, if all of it's eventually approved and constructed, to just under 300 megawatts, which is a sizable wind farm, would place it amongst the largest in the state. This particular one that we're voting on right now is Bison 2. It's located approximately 10 miles north and northwest of New Salem. It's adjacent to the existing Bison 1 project. With regard to its outlet for power, similar to Bison 1, the project substation is located close by. It'll be transformed to 230 kV and transmitted via the existing transmission line that's there to the Square Butte substation, at which point it's converted to DC. And it heads out on that center to Duluth, the DC line, which has become a very important conduit for North Dakota wind power. And then it's delivered to the Arrowhead substation, which is located near Duluth, Minnesota. This project site has been a favorable one for Minnesota Power. The data that they've collected from their existing meteorological towers indicates in the scale of that's established by the National Renewable Energy Lab, wind power class ratings of 5 and 6, which indicates an excellent outstanding wind resource. The expected project cost of this is $157 million. The construction is expected to take approximately 15 months, with Minnesota Power anticipating commencing construction in the fall of 2011, with commercial operation beginning in late 2012. In most respects, this was a fairly straightforward application. Were not really any controversies that came up as a result of the hearing that we held. This is within the central migration corridor of the Whipping Crane, where 50% of all sightings occur, but it is within the next band, which is an 80-mile corridor where 75% of the sightings have occurred. Nonetheless, Minnesota Power is working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to develop the programmatic habitat conservation plan and other contributions towards whooping crane conservation efforts. In this case, there are no turbines within 1,400 feet of an occupied residence. The closest one is to a participating residence. It's 1,425 feet, and the closest turbine to a non-participating residence is approximately 2,900 feet. Minnesota Power. We always ask about shadow flicker and noise studies. They've conducted both of those engineering studies and indicate that the expected cumulative noise at any residence is going to be less than 45 decibels. And as far as shadow flicker, the greatest potential cumulative exposure will experience about 27 hours annually, but those same models predict that the highest, that would be for a participating resident. The same models predict that for a non-participating resident, it would be about 12 hours annually, so substantially less. As I said, it's a pretty straightforward application from there, and all looks to be in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC2, I move the commission deem the application complete, conditioned on filing of final turbine locations by September 8, 2011, and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in case number PU-11-162, Elite Inc.'s application for a certificate of site compatibility to construct a proposed 105-megawatt Bison 3 wind project in Morton and Oliver counties of North Dakota.
Second.
We've already discussed this to some extent. I don't know if it's out on the table. I think the order was, Jerry's nodding his head, it was. This would set up the date for the hearing. There is a map attached which indicates where Bison 3 is. It's it's roughly adjacent to the existing Bison 1 and 2 projects. As part of this application procedure, Minnesota Power will be submitting micro-siting and other inventories and surveys that'll be required to be submitted before the public hearing, which we are scheduling for September 15th, 2011 at 10 a.m. Central at the Oliver County Courthouse, a courthouse that we are becoming very familiar with.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
TC3, I move the commission adopt the order reinstating warehouse license number 1155 of Earth Harvest Mills, Inc., doing businesses Dakota Prairie Organic Flower Company at its Harvey, North Dakota warehouse effective August 1, 2011 in case number GE-11-379.
Sorry.
The warehouse license was suspended by virtue of law, which required it to be suspended, and because there wasn't a timely replacement filed, and that has now been filed, so this would reinstate the license.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC4, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-11-524, canceling warehouse license number 989 and 990 issued to Dahlgren and Company, Inc. at Fargo and Grace City, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Fargo and Grace City, North Dakota is discontinued effective August 1st, 2011.
Second.
This is a result of a request to discontinue business. The facilities have been sold and will be licensed to Sun Opta Grains and Foods, Inc., which will be the next motion.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-11-525, granting the request of Sun Opta Grains and Food, Inc. to operate a 550,000 bushel grain warehouse at Fargo, North Dakota, and a 1,906,000 grain bushel warehouse at Grace City, North Dakota, effective August 1st, 2011.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
TC6, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-11-526, canceling facilities-based grain buyer license number 2036, issued to CHS, Inc., St. Paul, Minnesota, at the Courtenay, North Dakota location, and ordering that business at Courtenay, North Dakota is discontinued effective August 3rd, 2011.
Second.
This facility has been operated under a facilities-based grain buyer license. Courtenay has been sold to Central Plains Ag Services, LLC of Hannaford, and will be licensed as a state warehouse.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC7. I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-11-527, granting the request of Central Plains Ag Services, LLC, Hannaford, North Dakota, to operate a 693,000 bushel grain warehouse at Courtenay, North Dakota, effective August 3rd, 2011.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
TC9. I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-11-530, canceling warehouse license number 1194 issued to Technology Crops, Inc., Winston-Salem, North Carolina, at Hatton, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Hatton is discontinued effective August 2011.
Second.
Again, a request for discontinuance of business from TCI for its Hatton facility. This facility has been sold to Hatton Farmers Elevator and will be licensed under their existing license at Hatton.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I skipped over TC8. I should just know that note that TC8 was moved to consent, and so it was handled as part of those matters. TC10, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-11-532, canceling warehouse license number 1212, issued to Central Valley Bean Cooperative at Lakota, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Lakota is discontinued effective August 1st, 2011.
Second.
The licensing division received this request for its dry edible bean receiving station at Lakota. Edible beans will not be received at this location, and so the license is no longer needed.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That ends the items in my portfolio. You'll notice that a lot of them were related to grain elevator, which isn't surprising, being that the grain elevator licensing period is a August 1 through July 31st endeavor. So we do have the grain elevator statistics available, which we used to give at every meeting, I'm sure David recalls. But now we just do it once a year when noteworthy events happen. Interestingly, the number of state-licensed elevators dropped by a number, and it wasn't because necessarily the facilities closed. We just had a number that became federally licensed elevators and so adopted the federal license for warehousing and the facilities-based grain buyer license for their merchandising activities. The total number of state-licensed elevators today is 282. There were 292 as of a year ago. But there's an increase in federal licensed elevators, 114 federal elevators, 107 a year ago. And the reason that this has happened is that basically because of mergers and consolidations within the industry, there have been a number of larger entities that own federal elevators that have purchased independent elevators, and so they've begun licensing them under their existing federal elevators. Roving grain buyers remains the same. We have 71 in each of the years. Roving hay buyers, we don't have any today, and we didn't have any a year ago. As far as total firms operating elevators in the state, just a little drop. There were 200 last year, 197 this year, but capacity has increased, which is no surprise. This is the general trend of slightly fewer elevators, but larger elevators. So the state, or the total license capacity in North Dakota as of a year ago was 355 million. Just over 355 million bushels, and today it's 368 million bushels. That ends the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Culp.
I have no items in my portfolio today.
Commissioner Kramer.
I have one, KC1. I move the commission approve renewal number 6 to surface coal mining permit number NACT8102, held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to extend the permit term for an additional 5 years until August 31st, 2016.
Second.
This is a pretty typical renewal. This particular permit is for an area where coal has been removed, you know, for some time, but this is also where the mine shop and service buildings are, truck dump hoppers, coal stockpiles, road, as often is the case, that, of course, are required for continued operation of the mine. So everything seems to be in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
That's all I have.
Good boy. I did the bulk of the work on that agenda.
Yep.
Your shoulders are getting sort of tired hearing you two here. That's right.
Good thing we moved that one over to consent. You might not have made it.
Right. Why do you think I moved it? That's all right. What goes around comes around. I'm sure I'll have a lot.
Yeah, right.
Upcoming meetings, as always, are listed in the agenda. Our next regularly scheduled commission meeting is Wednesday, August 24th. So back in our regular schedule, two-week break. And we've got actually the next informal hearings, again, are on the 24th. We do not have an informal today. We do have we don't have formal hearings coming up between now and then, too. So this is our August break. We used to get all of August off. Now we just get a couple weeks of respite.
We do have a special meeting next Thursday, though.
We do have a yes, that's right.
For two items, looks like.
I'm trying to recall what those two items are off the top of my head. But.
One is with the, I just drew a blank, the Missouri Valley Mid-Continent.
Oh, is it the, it's to schedule the hearings, maybe, and then?
Yeah, to notice the hearings and fit the newspaper calendar as well as, of course, the notice requirements and as well as to try and keep a pace that's conducive to getting the pipelines done.
That's right. All right, with that, are there any questions?
I need to ask just about the consent TC5. Protective order on North Dakota oilseed mills. Can you explain that to me?
Right. That was the item that was moved over to consent, and the reason is that we typically handle those types of requests for on the consent agenda. Let me grab the paperwork here.
I was just curious what a protective order is.
It's trade secret. It's the same thing as that. This is one that we've had litigation over, and so it's dealing with a bankruptcy, and so information received for that is then basically granted trade secret protection.
Are you surprised that we have more licensed bushels in North Dakota, given the fact that this was a year of a lot of prevented plant acres?
Not necessarily. I think while seasons come and go, and some seasons bring their own unique challenges, the trend line is very, very clear for North Dakota elevators, which is that on the whole, North Dakota producers are increasingly productive, and that's been really the case throughout state history, and it continues. So while there are going to be more challenging years and less challenging years, I think the trend line is pretty well established. And while there may be times where the increase in capacity is a little less than other years, it, I think, is something that continues to move forward into the future.
Do you think the trend is going to be also to close smaller elevators and more consolidation into a larger?
Consolidation is very clear. So you've got larger firms that are buying especially larger elevators. So you're getting those sorts of mergers that are going on. What you're seeing on the other side of things, though, is more specialty elevators. We've seen a number of organic elevators that market to that particular niche crop up. So it's kind of both ends of the spectrum. You have smaller independent operators trying to create a market niche with specialized crops, but then on the other side, you've got more and more mergers that create larger and larger elevators.
The other thing, one of the things that we're seeing is that obviously over the last several years, you've seen an increased commitment of acres to growing corn. Corn, of course, requires more capacity. This particular year has been a kind of a phenomenal corn year from everything I'm picking up. While we had that cool June and sort of a slow start to things, we had those three tropical weeks of high humidity and high temperatures, and corn grew almost overnight. So there's an expectation that the corn crop where they did plant is going to be superb. And barring some disaster between now and then, of course, it's going to be, for those that got crops in, it might be a very big year from everything that we hear.
Felt like Illinois.
Only with regard to temperature, however. Other climates have been very stable.
Well, then I might as well ask about the wind farm. You've got Bison 3 now on the pipeline. Are there others in the pipeline right now?
Officially, there aren't any that we've received applications for. With regard to this particular site, we've asked Minnesota Power in the course of hearings what could it potentially grow to, and there could be additional wind resources brought on at this site because the capacity of that line it's a significant line, the DC one. So over the course of future years, depending on what happens with public policy initiatives, especially in their home service territory of Minnesota, there may be opportunities for even more wind farms to be brought online. With regard to others across the state, I believe that's the only pending application. I can't think of any others. I'm looking at Jerry.
I think that's true. There's some letters of intent out there, but we haven't got applications yet.
Yeah.
I would say that I think that as a lot of these transmission projects that are in the pipeline, as those come online, we're just going to continue to see more wind come as the transmission becomes available.
Now the line is that a 230 or 345? I just can't remember.
Well, it's different. It's DC, so it's I believe a 500. It's a 250?
250.
Okay, it's a 250 DC. The 245 is the
standard AC.
Is the AC interconnection line that connects to the Square Butte substation. Why does 500 stick in my mind?
Well,
maybe that's the 500 megawatts
yeah,
might be the ultimate.
Its capacity is about 550 megawatts, which is why Tony's earlier point about, you know, this brings them close to 300 megawatts, but they have a DC line capable of carrying 550 megawatts. You can't help but wonder how they're going to utilize the other 250 megawatts when the wind's blowing, much less what they're going to do with the 550 when the wind's not blowing. So clearly, once the switch is made from Milt Young, you know, over to solely to Minnesota Power with wind, there's a lot of transmission capacity that, if it's going to be maximized, needs some energy on it.
What's their deadline for the final switchover? Do you know, or haven't done it yet?
Oh, for final ownership of the line itself. Well,
345 has to be built.
That's just it. I mean, they have to have the 345 constructed by Minn Kota to be able to fully utilize that.
Their schedule on that is quite aggressive. But we have our first work session on that application today.
This afternoon. Yep.
And the only thing else I want to bring up is, you know, why do you have a 2007 map hanging there? I'm just kidding. A laminated 2007 map. Shouldn't you be updating the map?
Yes. Probably should, yes.
Road map?
Good call. Yeah, we might have to
Scott's
get on that.
Grief about that earlier.
You know, Scott hardly ever gets any grief around here. So if you could pile on a little, we'd appreciate that. Do your part. He's got a lot of capacity for grief.
Any other questions? Oh, there he is. There he is. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, George Sinner was the governor on the back of that map, Scott. So if you wouldn't... You know, it may be a little bit. It's been around for a while, I think. You might.
Discover the Spirit's no longer the motto either. Don't worry, Dave. He dishes it out twice as quickly as we can dish it at him.
Okay.
Okay. With that, let's close this portion of the agenda. We'll do bill signing and then come back for admin in, 5 minutes at 10:30.